I wanted to do a medium that I knew no other artist there was going to use. And so I began with coffee.
That was St. Louis artist Howard Berry, who not only uses a very unique medium in his work, but also has a very interesting story about how he got into making art while recovering from a brain injury. I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold, and this is Cut and Paste. Howard Berry is one of the 16 artists on display in the show titled Visualizing Life, Social Justice in Real Time.
So the art exhibition is part of Dance St. Louis's annual New Dance Horizons. This is the fourth one. But this one has a focus of social justice in the Black Lives Matter movement. And it brought in choreographers from all over the country and includes the three former Alvin Ailey dancers that now live in St. Louis. It'll be showing at the Two Hill Center for the Performing Arts.
Here's Frieda Wheaton discussing the artists.
We're looking at issues that were a part of social justice, perhaps pre-Ferguson and post-Ferguson.
How does it sort of go beyond Hands Up, Don't Shoot, which was an exhibit that was shortly after Michael Brown's death that you curated?
We've had a while to look at the Ferguson matter, as well as nationally and internationally what has happened with respect to Ferguson and the preeminence of social justice issues now in everyday conversation. So it's a part of real life that people of all age groups and all spectrums of life are talking about.
I'm a little bit curious about what sort of evolutions you've seen in the art community in St. Louis over these past couple of years.
There's a lot more going on, and I think institutions are more willing to handle questions now. They weren't so willing when I went around begging for a site to show art that was part of Hands Up, Don't Shoot. There is a lot more public art that is called for in expressing social justice issues, and there are a lot of artists eager to show what they interpret in terms of these issues.
So it sounds like, you know, since Michael Brown's death, and the movement that sprung from that, that it's really brought artists that are working in social justice much more visibility and in sort of a curiosity about that work.
And I think a lot more willingness for artists to take risks in terms of what they do, not fearing rejection because of the nature of their work, and knowing that their work will be received well.
Do you remember when you first became aware of each other and then how you actually met?
I do.
Okay, I'll let Howard tell that story. He's good at it.
So I mentioned earlier about the Ferguson pieces being like my own personal therapy. My cousin is the graphics editor at the St. Louis American. So I was joking with him about, you know, not being upset with me about destroying his work, you know, his hard work designing the American to draw on top of it. That led to me talking to Chris King, the editor over there, which led to a story being done. Frieda saw it. And then Frieda began reaching out to me and asking me to participate in the show. And she had the perfect amount of tact, because my wife can verify that I had a million and one reasons of why I didn't want anyone to see those pieces and I didn't want to share them. But fortunately, her perseverance, it paid off and she got me to participate.
And one of the things about most artists in terms of the relationship between the curator and the artist, especially those that those who are just coming within the circle of the curator, is to give them space to get to know them, and not just their work, but their personality as well.
So, Howard, how do you try and capture the issues that face St. Louis at the moment?
I think I've been fortunate in a sense that I don't concentrate so much on trying to capture what's going on as I do visually try to work out my own therapy. So I observe what's going on. I have a feeling about how, you know, I'm affected and what it's doing with me. And art began as me processing my thoughts in a way where I can put it down on paper and look at it and see what, you know, how I felt about it. And what's happened is other people, as they've been looking at it, I've discovered that they relate to some of these things that I've been thinking or struggling with myself. And so that's been kind of like my encouragement to keep going in that vein. Sometimes I have to hold back some of those pieces because I'm not sure if everybody is ready to see it that way just yet.
When you say your own therapy, would you tell us what you mean by that?
I suffered a brain injury a few years back. And so one of the ways I've learned how to deal with anger issues or processing cognizant kind of issues was to draw. So when I was at a loss or stuck or couldn't figure things out, I would just draw and paint.
So you were making art before this injury?
Before the call. When I was younger, I had natural artistic ability. I could draw and paint without thinking about it. When I was in the military, I got hurt. That's when I acquired the brain injury. And that natural ability, I lost it totally. I couldn't recall how to draw, how to paint, or do any of those things. And so I used the word therapy because when I kept that journal and when I drew, I didn't do it as a technical exercise, like I'm going to draw this. I would just use it more like you use free writing, but it would be easier to try to draw images or whatever. And that process took me years to get where I am now, to get that ability back. So it's different now than before when, you know, I just had artistic ability and took it for granted. Now it's something that I work toward.
And the work that you showed as part of that first show is different than the work that you're showing for this show, correct?
It's different in the sense of the size and some of the media I used this time. Theme-wise, they still tie in together because there's still that banner of social justice. I think in this time, because it was associated with the dance event, I incorporated dancers into the social justice pieces.
And one of those images shows a male and female dancer in an abstract background. The painting is made with what looks like brown watercolors.
I initially had titled that piece Forget Me Not. And the goal was I knew I wanted to incorporate the dancers. I wanted to incorporate flowers and in a semi-abstract way kind of try to paint a picture of loss and the things that have been happening with people and police brutality and some of the violence and stuff that took place. But I didn't want that particular piece to be in your face. I wanted to do a medium that I knew no other artist there was going to use. And so I began with coffee. And I painted, yes, where it looks like water, it's like a cross between whether it's, you can't tell whether it's water or dirt. And you can't tell if the dancer is on top of it or if the dirt is going up to form the dancers.
Could you just explain a little bit more about what you mean by incorporating coffee?
I challenge myself to create art with almost anything that I get my hands on. And I always start my day off with coffee. I had a set of matching cups. One cup would have water for like whenever I did quick sketches and I would dip into that water to clean my brush. I had a matching cup where my coffee would be in it. And I would try to be mindful to keep them far apart from each other. And one day I accidentally dipped into the coffee brush, and before I caught myself, I had painted on this picture. And initially I thought I ruined it, but I didn't have the heart to tear it up because I had invested so much time in planning on how it was going to go. So I just set it to the side. But when I came back and looked at after the coffee had dried, it looked really nice. And so I finished it off in coffee, and it ended up becoming one of my favorite pieces. And so I paint with coffee much like you would use watercolor or ink. It's finicky and it has a temperament about it, but when it dries, especially for some of the pieces that I do, like skin with melanin, the coffee loves it. And so those pieces tend to have a different feel to them because you can look at it and tell it's not quite paint. It's, you know, it's something else.
Wow, that's really neat. Is it just question decaf or regular?
I haven't tried decaf, and that's probably because I use the painting with coffee just as much as a reason to buy extra coffee because I drink it too. So for every cup that I make to paint with, I make one to drink as well.
So Frida, when you're gathering all of these different artists and all of these different styles, how do you try and put together like a coherent show that then also relates to this dance performance that's happening?
We wanted to make sure that not only Michael Uthoff and the dancers were appreciative of the large scale of the work, but also that the artists would be able to show their best work on a large scale and in that large space. Now, I think Michael might have had in mind gathering some art that already existed and getting easels and showing art that way. However, I knew that would never work. First of all, the Two Hill Performing Arts Center is a really large venue. It's voluminous, so any art that would be shown there would have to be large artworks. So consequently, most of the pieces are 4 feet wide by 6 feet tall, or 3 feet tall by 9 feet wide.
And one of the things that that particular size allowed me to do, for people who are familiar with my work, there's always something that's obvious. And I do that for the people who do the quick look, the glance. But for the people who are nosy like me, I always hide things. You know, there's either sentences in there, there's always a few things that I always stick in there. And working at this particular scale, it gave me the chance to do that. So the people who are in the lobby at Two Hill, you know, and you're walking by and glancing, you'll probably just see the dancers that stand out at you. But if you're up close, you'll see the other things that I've hidden in there.
So sometimes you hear about this thing called Ferguson fatigue. Some people just want this to all go away. Do you think of that as you're trying to put, did you think of that as you're trying to put this show together, or is that a consideration at all?
Not for me, because educating the public about issues should never be tiring. Whether the name Ferguson is used or not, the issues that preceded Ferguson and that continue and that will continue, quite honestly, will be with us. So one might get tired of thinking about it or using the word Ferguson or even using the phrase social justice. They're with us to stay and they're not going anywhere. And we might be tired of the phrase no justice, no peace, but that is what it's really come down to.
That was curator Frieda Wheaton and the artist Howard Berry. They were discussing the show, Visualizing Life, Social Justice in Real Time. After the dance show, the visual art will be moved to the Vaughn Cultural Center, where it will be on display for a couple of months.
This is Cut and Paste, produced by Willis Ryder Arnold
and Nancy Fowler. The music you heard throughout the episode was made by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste at stlpublicradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts.